And we're holding up, and I'm going to pay Omid Alif the top line. We've been talking the last couple of days about the whole matter of the various degrees of tumor from Rishon down to Revi. We know, as we established, Chulin can only go down as far as Sheni, Truma as far as Shlishi, Kodesh until Revi, and we were discussing, mostly we were discussing Chulin, Shenasu, Altaris, Truma, Chulin that are prepared at the standards of Truma, prepared and kept at the standards of Truma, and whether that's able to become a Shlishi or not. In that connection, we mentioned in Machlokas, that one way of understanding it is that there's Machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Yeshua on that point. We said they all agree that there is such a thing as Chulin Shenasu Al Taras Truma. The question is there Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh? Can we say that Chulin can be made to have the status of Kedush of Kodesh and go to Revi? So one way we understood it was, on Long Gimel on the days, was that there was Machloikas of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua on that. The other way of looking at it is that there's no machlokas, and Rabbi Yeshua does say that could be, and the reason he mentions only Chulin Shenasu Al Taras Truma is because there's a greater chiddush in it as far as the purpose that he was mentioning it for. So in this connection, he mentioned a din that Ula says that if a person eats shlishi of Chulin Shenasu Al Taras Truma, where again, this is not normal Chulin, which can only go as far as Sheni, this is Chulin Shenasu Al Taras Truma, which are able to become a shlishi. So now, Ula had said, if a person eats that, then he can't eat truma. And Rabbanan, he becomes tamei, and he can't eat truma. So now the Gemara continues with a similar din. Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Amar Rabbi, ha'orichol shlishi shol truma atzma. If a person eats shlishi food of truma itself, before Ola was talking about cholin shenasu al taras truma, now we're talking about truma itself. Says Rabbi Yonasan, also lechol, he would also be also to eat truma umuto viga, but he would be able to touch. He would be able to touch truma. So in other words, basically the same thing. The point is, in other words, the fact that he can touch it, we're not making it zera that he shouldn't touch it because he might come to eat it. In other words, basically Rabbi Yonasan is saying exactly the same thing as Ula, except that Ula was talking about chulin shenasu al taras truma, and Rabbi Yonasan is talking about truma itself. So why do we need both dinim? The Gemara points out that it's just the Ula, but it's just the Rabbi Yonasan. In fact, we need both statements to be made. We couldn't have derived one from the other. The imid Ula. If we only had Ula's din have our minim, then you would think any minim before Shenasu Al Taras Truma, that Ula's case is talking about Chulin Shenasu Al Taras Truma. And we're saying then that he's not allowed to eat Truma, but he is allowed to touch it. Aval Truma b'negiyah nami osur. But maybe if he ate shlishi of Truma itself, which he's not allowed to, by the way, you're not allowed to eat Truma that is tamei and posur in any way. But if he did, you would think maybe we shouldn't allow him to touch Truma either. It's just the Rabbi Yonasan, therefore we need what Rabbi Yonasan says, that even with truma, that even he ate truma itself, shlishi of truma itself, he is allowed to touch truma. Of the imid Rabbi Yonasan, on the other hand, if he only had Rabbi Yonasan's din, that if he eats shlishi of truma itself, he can't eat truma, but he is allowed to touch it, and if we only had that din, and we didn't have Ola's din, how about mina? We would have said the other way around, hanimil the truma. That's when he eats shlishi and truma, then he's not allowed to eat truma afterwards until he totals. But if he ate shlishi of chulin shenasu al taras truma, you would think, without Ula telling us that maybe he is even allowed to eat truma, maybe the restriction on him eating truma is only when he ate shlishi of truma itself, and therefore we need both dinim. Ula tells us that this applies, when he eats chulin shenasu al taras truma. Rabbi Yonasan tells us it applies when he eats truma itself, in both cases where it's a shlishi. And we're saying that the same dinim are going to apply in both cases. He won't be allowed to eat truma until he travels, but he will be able to touch truma. So Tosfos now brings up an interesting question, which the premise of Tosfos's question itself is discussed by a number of achronim. Tosfos asks the question, then what's the nafka minna? In that case, to what purpose are we considering this shlishi of truma shlishi? If we're saying that if you eat it, that'll really belong with the next piece. So let's go in the next piece, and then we'll talk about what Tosfos says about it. So we have Ula's din and we have Rabbi Yonasan's din. They're basically the same, but there's a slight difference between them. One's talking about Chulin Shenasu Al Taras Truma. The other one's talking about Truma itself. In both cases, he ate shlishi. In both cases, he can't eat Truma until he totals, but he could touch Truma. Well, the Gemara continues. Yosef Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta Kamed Rav Nachman. Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta was sitting in front of Rav Nachman, the Yosef Bakamar, and he was sitting and saying, Mephoshim pointed out in Ben Yehoyada, points it out in one place, that the vote would be, the Talmud would be sitting in front of the Rebbe. Then when he wanted to ask something, when he wanted to say something, he would stand up, ask permission from the Rebbe, and then when he was granted permission, then he would sit down, which is why the Gemara always uses this double expression, that Yosef, and then the Yosef, the farmer. So he sat down and said the following din. If a person eats shlishi of cholin that were prepared and kept al taras hakodesh, till now we were talking about cholin shenasu al taras trum. Now we're talking about cholin shenasu al taras hakodesh. So now he says if a person ate shlishi of that kind of food, muter lech tohar lech al hakodesh, he would in fact be tohar and be able to eat kodesh. Because he says the only thing that can make a person also to eat kodesh, or the only thing that can create a revi in kodesh would only be actual kodesh itself, kodesh mekodesh bovad, only actual kodesh, as opposed to cholin shenasu al taras hakodesh. Meaning, the kodesh mekodesh means actual kodesh, that the goof of it is kodesh. For example, meat of a korban, a chalas toda, etc. As opposed to, Rashi says, even for example, Yav, it only had kedushas keh. It only had verbal kedusha, so you just said that it's going to be kodesh, that it doesn't have kedushas and goof yet, then Rabbi Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta is saying it wouldn't apply to that. Rashi points out the reason for that is as follows. This whole concept that we have, that we can have revi by kodesh, says Rashi, is the whole thing is only dirabbanan. In Masechta Chagiga, it listed Masechta Chagiga, yeah, the last third of the Masechta or so over there, it talks about dinim of Tumah and Tara mostly. And it mentions over there a bunch of milos, a bunch of special chumras that the Chachamim made in kodesh over Tumah. And among them it lists that kodesh is able to become revi. And the Gemara explains over there that you have a few of them are they're all drabbanan, but some of them have a basis in daraisa, and some of them are purely drabbanan. This one is listed among the last group, which is daraisa. There would be no tumah there at all, and only drabbanan. So now says Rashi, the Chachamim made this rule of revi b'kodesh only for actual kodshim, not for actual kodshim that have kedushas haguf, not for cholin shenasu al taras hakodesh. So therefore says Rabbi Yitzchak that if a person were to eat that shlishi food, then no problem. The Chachamim are not imposing a rule to that extent that he's going to become a revi. Even though we said before, a person eats rishon food, sheni food, shlishi food, but now Rabbi Yitzchak is saying that's all as far as truma. And okay, if he eats rishon or sheni food, he can't eat kodesh either. But if he eats shlishi food of cholin shenasu al taras hakodesh, given that it is only cholin after all, if not really kodesh, then therefore it won't passel him from eating kodesh. So only kodesh mekodesh bovad will accomplish that. Now that's the point of Rashi. Tosfos brings up an interesting question. First of all, Tosfos points out so why don't we mention that he doesn't make it revi when he touches it? Then Tosfos points out there's a chiddush, even though, as we were saying before, that eating on the face of it is more chomer than touching. Nevertheless, he's allowed not only to touch chiddush, he's even allowed to eat it. So now Tosfos brings up a question, which the question itself has a question on it, which is, Tosfos asks, that in what sense is it shlishi if you eat it in the Torah, and you can even eat kodesh, and if it doesn't just touch kodesh, if it touches kodesh, if that food touches kodesh, it doesn't make it a revi, so in what sense are we saying that it's a shlishi? What's the nakamina of it being a shlishi? So Aphronim asks on Tosfos, what does Tosfos mean by that exactly? I mean, Tosfos is asking, for what purpose is it a shlishi? It's a shlishi for the purpose that you're not allowed to eat it. That's all. If it's cholin shenasu al taras hakodesh, you're not allowed to eat it as a shlishi. So Shid Bukhubetsis brings Julian Tosfos, an alternate version of Tosfos, that says, because the fact is you would be allowed to eat it. Fine, you accepted that you want to have the full inshanasa, Altaris HaKodesh. Well, Altaris Truma doesn't mean that if it becomes Tomei, you shouldn't be allowed to eat it. There's more discussion about that. One of the Mephoshim brings a Rambam that may disagree with that. In any case, then maybe you're not allowed, maybe they're not communists, as Mikdash David is, you're not allowed to cause it to become shlishi in the first place, and then there are other Rishonim, the Ramban and the Rashba brings over here. That it can become shlishi. However, Rabbi Yitzchak is telling us that if you eat it, you're still allowed to eat korshin. But then Ramban brings that actually Rabbi Yitzchak might be holding, like Rabbi Baba Chana that we learned yesterday, that this holding Chanasu al Taras Kodesh is not able to become shlishi. So it's not a matter of if it became shlishi, but you can eat it and you can still eat Kodesh. It wouldn't even become shlishi, because after all it is holin. In any case, Tosfos themselves gives an answer as far as when you're dealing with actual kodshim, there is sort of an in-between state. For example, we lived in Menachos about the Chalas Toda, where you hadn't shechted the korban yet. So now, it means, in other words, if they became a shlishi, you wouldn't be able to shecht the korban and be mekadesh those loaves at that point. Had they become Kodesh already, then yeah, they would have the din of full-fledged Kodesh, and of course, the review would apply to them, as Rashi says, Midirabanon, but because their korban wasn't shechted yet, they're kind of in an in-between state, says Tosfos, so therefore they're able to become shlishi, and if they do, then you shouldn't shecht the korban on them. Tosfos also deals then with the question, well then, who does Rabbi Yitzchak hold like, according to the various among the various Amoroyim that we said, and among the various explanations that we've been saying the last couple of days, about whether what the dinim are full and shenasu al taras hakodesh and taras truma, and that and how would he understand Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, and Tosfos deals with that they would be talking about only full and shenasu al taras truma. But here we're talking about nasu al taras hakodesh, and that's different. Also, then Tosfos gets into the point. Rashi is saying the whole concept of revi bakodesh is only dirabana, and therefore the Chachamim imposed it, says Rabbi Yitzchak, only on food that is actual Kodesh Mekodesh, and not on Cholim Shanasu Al Taras HaKodesh. Tosfos disagrees with that premise, and proves from various Gemaras that in fact we do have cases where you can have Revi BaKodesh to be Doraisa as well. Nevertheless, we're still saying that if you eat Shlishi, you can't eat Revi, that would only apply to Kodesh Mekodesh, says Revi. The Gemara says, Masid Rami Bachama. So Rami Bachama says that a contradicting fan. The Mishnah that we learned before from Masechta Taras, where we had the Machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, and we had Shlishi, Rabbi Yeshua had said that if he eats Shlishi food, Sheni v'Kodesh, v'ein Sheni v'Truma. He becomes a Sheni as far as Kodesh. He does not become a Sheni as far as Truma. Meaning, so now he's a Sheni as far as Kodesh. Not only he can't eat Kodesh, but if he touches it, he will actually make it a Shlishi and it will become Tomei. But he won't be a Sheni v'Truma. Meaning that he'll still be able to eat Truma. B'chulin shanasu al taras Truma, and that was referring to chulin that were kept at the standard of Truma. Now, Rami Bahama assumes, like we've been saying in various places in the Sylvia, that when we say Altaris Truma, then it would be the same thing with Altaris HaKodesh. And therefore, so in other words, if we're saying if a person eats Shlishi of Cholin Shanasu Altaris Truma, and we're saying he becomes Sheni LaKodesh, and he can't eat Kodesh now, and even be Matame when he touches it, how much more so if he eats Shlishi Shanasu Altaris Truma? Altaris HaKodesh. Well then, what are you telling me, Rabbi Yitzchak, that he would be able to eat Kodesh when it seems clearly from that Mishnah that not? Am I? Now, why would it be, on the contrary, why would it be a problem? Why would it make him a Sheni in Kodesh, according to what you, Rabbi Yitzchak, are saying, a lot of Kodesh Mekodesh. We're not talking about Kodesh Mekodesh over there. We're talking Cholin Shanasu Altaris Truma. And therefore, according to you, Rabbi Yitzchak, it shouldn't be a problem. Now, again, given that we have a few different ways that we said before of explaining what Rabbi Yehuda, what Rabbi Yitzchak is saying, is it that he agrees that this cholin is able to become shlish because nasu al taras hakodesh? He just holds that it shouldn't have consequences that would prevent him from eating kodesh. So then we would say that, So then we would say that the question is, then in that case, here, where he ate what's not Kodesh Mekodesh, then why is Rabbi Yeshua, why is Rabbi Yeshua telling us in that Mishnah that he's not allowed to eat Kodesh? If we learn like the Ramban and the other Rishonim like him, that Rabbi Yitzchak is saying that there's no such thing even as Cholim Shanasal, Ataras HaKodesh, becoming Shlishi, then Rosh Yosef points out that the question wouldn't really fit so much over here as to find. It would mean that Rami Bahama evidently understood Rabbi Yitzchak like Rashi does, like Rashi in like the beginning of Tosfos does, that we are in fact talking about it can become tamei, but it shouldn't prevent. But Rabbi Yitzchak is saying it shouldn't prevent him from eating truma. And Rami Bahama is asking him that the Mishnah, it seems to be saying that the Mishnah clearly says that he can. Amalei, so Rabbi Yitzchak answers him, Hanachu truma. Set aside a question from Truma, because even Tahar Truma is even a person who is Tahar relative to Truma is considered Tomei as far as Kodesh. Because like we talked about yesterday, there is this point, another one of the Milos that I've gone on, that when you're Tahar for a certain purpose, then you're not necessarily Tahar for the higher purposes than that. You became Tahar to eat Maaser Sheni, for example, Midaraisa. Tahar is Tahar, that's it. But Midirabanan, if you're Tahar for Maaser Sheni, you're not yet Tahar for Truma, unless you toivel with that in mind. If you're Tahar for Truma, you're not yet Tahar for Kodeshim, unless you toivel with that in mind, etc. So therefore, the beautiful answer is, and the same thing goes also as far as Shmira, then those Gemaras in Chagiga that talk about this whole matter of Tumah V'Tahara and the different levels and whatever. We have a point over there that you also have to guard it, having in mind what it is. If it's Truma, you have to guard it from becoming Tomei, having in mind that it's Truma. If it's Kodesh, then Kodesh, etc. Well, therefore, says Rabbi Yitzchak, the level of guarding that you do on Truma to keep it from becoming, to keep it from becoming Shlishi is not good enough for Kodesh. So therefore, even we have Shlishi of Truma, fine. Objectively, it's Shlishi. But as far as Kodesh, we do have to be concerned. Maybe it really is Shady. And therefore, as Rabbi Yeshua had said in the Mishnah that we quoted the other day, if he eats Shady food, he's going to become a Shady. And therefore, he'll be also to eat or touch Kodeshim. So in fact, Tosfos points out it would mean the result of that would actually be that even Truma itself, if the Shlishi of Truma itself touches Kodshin, it's going to make them a Shlishi to be on the safe side, because it might really be Shani relative to Kodshin. Or even if it's Tahar completely, it would be Metamic Kodesh, because again, the Tara of Truma is not good enough for Kodesh. Well, therefore, says Rabbi Yitzchak, so you're asking me from a case where a person ate, where a person ate cholim shenasa al taras truma, and you're telling us that he can't eat kodesh because he becomes a sheni. Fine, because we're only talking about cholim shenasa al taras truma, and even truma itself is no good relative to kodeshim. But I'm talking about, says Rabbi Yitzchak, I'm talking about where he ate cholim shenasa al taras kodesh. So the whole thing is being kept at the standard of kodesh. Therefore, even as far as Kodeshim, if it becomes a Shlishi, we consider it a Shlishi and sin, and therefore, and if he eats Shlishi, then there's no problem, because there's no problem, and he doesn't become a Revi, or even if he does become a Revi, not a problem, because a Revi is not going to be Metamei Kodeshim. And continues the Gemara, Umanotemra, and how do we know that point, that Tahar Truma is considered Tomei relative to Kodesh? It's not, as we learn in Chagiga, when we talk about those various Milos. The Mishnah says over there, the clothing of Amei Aretz is considered to have Tumas Midras relative to Prushim. Prushim is people who are careful in Tumah V'Tahara. Prushim literally means the ones who separate themselves, because they would have to be careful to separate themselves from Amei Aretz, precisely because of this reason, because the Amei Aretz are not careful in Tumah V'Tahara, and therefore they may be Tomei without realizing, as the Gemara is going to talk about at the top of the next almost specific reason why they might be Tomei without realizing it. So now, as the Gemara is going to say in a few lines at the bottom of the at the top of the next Amud, that for example, the Amei Aretz's wife, when she's Nidya, may have sat on a bit of his clothing without him realizing it, and that makes the clothing Tomei Tumas Midras. So therefore, to be on the safe side, we say that the Prushim have to consider those clothing Tumas Midras. So if he himself were to sit on the clothing of the Amei Aretz, so sitting next to him and accidentally sits on part of his clothing, or he borrows clothing from him or whatever, then the Purush, the one who's careful with Tumah V'Tahara, would have to consider that he's Tomei for having sat on Midras. And did they push in Midrash Lo'isay Truma? Then the clothes of Prushim themselves, people who are Kodesh, who are careful with Truma Matara, but they haven't specifically made themselves Tahor to eat Truma, so their clothing would be Midrash relative to Oichlei Truma. So same idea. In other words, you have two people sitting together. Both of them are Prushim. One of them is preparing himself to eat Truma. He's a Kohen. If now he sits on the clothing of the Kodesh that's sitting next to him, then he will not be able to eat Truma Midrabano. And bigla isla truma, midras the kodesh, and the clothing of people who have prepared themselves to eat truma is midras as far as kodesh. And then it continues. You also have from kodesh chachatos. So you have these different levels. All this concept exists only midrabanan. Again, midaraisa tahor is tahor, but midrabanan we have all these cases where a person can be tahor, completely tahor, objectively completely tahor, but he's tahor only for one purpose, and relative to the next level of tahara, he's relative to the next level of kedusha, he's going to actually be considered as though he's tamei tumas midras. The Mishnah even mentions over there, for example, that the Yossi ben Yezer is an example over there. He was the Nasi of the Sanhedrin. He was the Nasi of the first of the five Zugas that are listed in Pirkei Avos. He was, of course, exceptionally careful with tumah v'tahara. And he would eat holden kol yomav. He was also a kohen, so he would occasionally eat truma. But nevertheless, his handkerchief, for example, it says would be midras as far as chata, someone as far as parad truma, unless he prepared himself specifically for that. Anyway, so the point is, says Rabbi Yitzchak. So you see, therefore, that truma is considered tamei relative to kodesh. Well, by the same token, over here, there's a difference between a person ate cholin shenasu al taras truma and cholin shenasu al taras kodesh, where in fact, if he ate cholin shenasu al taras truma, given that had he eaten the truma itself, he would anyway be possible to eat kodesh, then cholin shenasu al taras truma would be the same deal. So there, and that's the case that the Mishnah in Taras was talking about, which we had Rabbi Yezer and Rabbi Shur arguing about that. Now, though, says Rabbi Yitzchak, I'm talking about where he ate cholin shenasu al taras kodesh. That's different. From the point of view of that it's kodesh, he could be possible. And had he eaten actual kodesh itself, that was shlishi, then sure he would be. But because it was cholin shenasu al taras kodesh, then therefore we say that it's only a problem if it's kodesh mekodesh. Again, either because the whole concept of revi and kodesh is only drabanan, and the chachamim aren't going to impose that rule over here, according to Rashi, or according to Tosfos and the various other Rishonim that were saying even if the concept of Revi is Daraisa, nevertheless we can still say that there's a reason to distinguish between Tosfos gives the reason, because after all it is very far away from the Tumah of Chol and Tzar. So therefore, we're only gonna impose it when the food is Kurdish itself, not that Cholin Shanasu al Taras Kurdish, because look, it's already 2 degrees removed from the maximum truma of regular Cholin. So it says Rabbi Yitzchak, so there's the distinction that I would make, and therefore you can't contradict me from a case of Cholin Shanasu al Taras Truma. Omar Rava, but Rava says to Rabbi Yitzchak, Midras is tamid. You're talking about, you have that special case of Tumas Midras, that a person who's Tahar for Truma is considered Midras as far as Kodesh and so forth. No, that's actually a special case. You can't learn from it to the case of where the person ate the food. Shiny midrasis, shema teshav alein ishtenida. After all, the whole reason for this zera of tumas midras in such cases is because the man's wife, when she's a nida, might sit on those clothing. And a nida is in fact midaraisa, is mitame, anything that she sits on that is normally sat on. So it's a very common kind of thing. So as much as a person eats truma and is careful with it, but again, it's such a common truma that maybe we would say that as far as kodesh, he wasn't careful enough, and therefore we consider him midras as far as kodesh. By the same token, Tosfos says, as far as the fact that an Am Haaretz's clothes are considered midras as far as prushin, is also the same thing. In other words, it wouldn't be that we're not so concerned that the Am Haaretz himself is a zov or something, but we're concerned that his wife may have sat on his clothing, sitting next to him, and therefore we would say, and therefore we have to consider his clothes to be trumas midras. And in fact, the Am Haaretz himself, to a certain extent, is considered Tomei, and again, therefore, the Porush, somebody who himself is careful in Tumah V'Tahara, would have to be careful not to be in close contact with him. We find in some places, there's usually the word Prushim for this, by the way, it's not the usual word for people who are careful in these dinim. The usual word is chaverim. The word prushim literally means the ones who are separated. In English, you get the word Pharisees out of it, which the goyim took and used to mean like hypocrites or whatever, because the amir aretz who made up that word and who made up a whole religion that uses that came and decided that they didn't like the chachamim and they didn't like the chaverim who are doing that, and they thought them standoffish or whatever. We find for the same reason Rabbi Akiva resented the chachamim when he was an amir aretz. So there was a certain amount of friction because of that. In any case, says Rava, so it's one thing by midrash, it's such a common thing that an Amma Oretz might accidentally sit on his wife's clothes, or rather that his wife might sit on his clothes, on the same thing with the Ufei Truma, that his wife might sit on his clothes, etc., and his wife, after all, once a month was going to be Nidra, so it's common enough. Abu Peri, Lo Yabinin, but when it comes to Peris, there's no Tumas Nidras in them. It's only if you touch them, and how do they become Tumah? If something of Tumah touches them, so then it's not such a common thing for them to become Tumah. So then we can say that the fact that you know that there is Shlishi L'Tumah, that there is Shlishi L'Tumah relative to Tumah, is good enough for us to consider that it is Shlishi as far as Kodesh as well. So now we're back to the question. Then, if the Mishnah is saying that according to Rabbi Yeshua, if you ate shlishi of cholim shanas al taras truma, then you become a sheni. Why shouldn't it be the same thing as kodesh? You're telling me there's a difference. As kodesh is more stringent, but as far as peiros, it's not any more stringent. It's not such a common truma that we should declare that all food of truma is automatically tume as far as kodesh. Otherwise you would say Truma Tahora would also be Matame Kodesh, and we're not going to say that, as we see. So as we're going to go on to point out. So on the other hand, Rabbi Yitzchak answers with Peiros Nami, he would say no, the same rule applies to Peiros Nami, Omar, that no, in fact, we would say the same thing as far as Peiros as well, the same thing as we say that when it comes to a person who eats truma or his clothing, that is considered midras relative to oichle kodesh. The same way Rabbi Yitzchak would say that food of truma is considered tome relative to kodesh, and therefore he can draw the distinction that he did before between cholim shenasa altaras truma and cholim shenasa altaras kodesh, and say, look, if a person ate cholim shenasa altaras truma, which is a shlishi, we have every reason to be concerned, given that truma itself is considered tomei relative to kodesh, then the cholim shenasa altaras truma, the shlishi, may really, as far as kodesh, be considered a sheni. And therefore, he won't be able to eat kodesh. But when we're talking cholim shenasa altaras kodesh, to say that if you ate a shlishi of it, you shouldn't be able to eat kodesh, says Rabbi Yitzchak, we're not going to do that. Again, according to Rashi, because the whole concept of the Vi and Kodesh is only Dirabanan. And according to Tosfos, because it's already two levels removed from the maximum Truma of Chulin. Okay, well, Rabbi Yitzchak is saying that with Peiros also, that in effect, Rabbi Yitzchak is saying that Truma will be Matame Kodeshim Dirabanan if they touch one another. However, Mosav of Yimi Yimidifti, but Yimi Yimidifti says that I have a contradiction. O mi amrin in the Peiri, do we in fact say by Peiros, by food, that food of truma is metame kodshim? We learn again in Chagiga, when it talks about that whole matter over there about amir aretz not being trustworthy about truma v'tara. Now, one exception that the Mishnah mentions over there and the Gemara discusses is we do believe amir aretz as far as the tara of wine and oil for the korbanos. But not for truma, but for korbanos we do. The Gemara explains over there, the Gemara has the expression over there, that if not, then kolach avachat ha'olach b'ona b'ma la'atzmai. If you don't allow amei aretz to bring their wine and oil for nesachim, then they're going to say, well, you know what, then who needs your beis mikdash? Who needs a place where the prushim are running things and they consider us tamei and our food off limits and all, and we'll go build ourselves a private bomber and bring all the nesachim we want over there. So to avoid that, the Chum said, you know what, fine, we're willing to trust Amir Oretz about the tahara of things that are for Kurdish. So now the Mishnah describes over there, suppose you have a case where he has a barrel of truma. To be exact, Rashi brings from the Mishnah over there in Chagiga, specifically we're in Yehuda, in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, which is not far from the Beis Mikdash, and people would commonly bring the Sachin from there. So if an Amma Oret says that this wine is Tahar from the Sachin, then we will believe him. Again, as I show you, won't be burned a bummel asmai. But Truma, the Mishnah, this is the Mishnah it's described over there, is only we believe the Amma Oret, that it's Tahar during the time of the wine pressing. During the time of the wine and the olive pressing, then the grape and the wine and the olive preparation and the oil preparation, then if an amoret says that this barrel is designated as truma for the kohen and it's tahor, then we'll believe it. But after that time, not. So now what happens? So what happens? The pressing season is over. The amoret has made his barrels of wine and stored them away. Now one day the kohen comes. The kohen comes to him, or he comes to the kohen, and he says. So if he were to tell the Kohen, here is a barrel of truma for you, well, since it's outside the pressing season, then the Kohen is going to have to consider that wine may be tomei, because again, it's outside the season when the Amoritz can be trusted about it. But now, if the Amoritz tells him, if he says, in that barrel, I designated a revius of it or more as Kodesh that I plan to use for Nesachim, so then we believe him. Why? Because since we trust him about the Kodesh, then we can trust him about the Tara of the Truma as well. And the idea is, in other words, Rashi explains there in Menachos, in Chagiga, that you're not going to say, what are you going to say? That you're going to consider the Kodesh to be Kodesh, to be Tahor. You can consider the Truma to be Tomei, because of the usual rule that we can't trust Amir Oretz about the Tara of Truma. And you're going to say that Kodesh that's connected, that's blended together with Truma, that has a Chesfas Truma, should be offered on a Mizdeach, will be a Gnai. So therefore, the Chum have no choice but to say, in that case, we have to say the whole thing is considered tahor. Now, Tosfos points out, we're not talking about that the guy says, for example, that he actually designated a revius of it as kodesh, because then that would create a problem. How would the kohen be able to eat it as truma? Any revius that he drinks from it might be kodesh, or might be some part of it kodesh. So it means, in other words, that he says, basically he uses the system of brayer. He says, I plan to designate a revius of this barrel as kodesh. And now, therefore, even now, we can believe him. Therefore, that he's keeping it at the standards of Tara, that therefore will make it allowed to be used for Nesachim. Now they talk about, I mean, how does that work? I mean, we talk about that Greira doesn't work with things that are ice. How would the Kohen be able to drink this wine? So fine, it's not real Breira. He's saying, eventually, I plan to designate a revius of it, and he hasn't yet, so therefore there's nothing to talk about. When he gives it to the Kohen, at that point, he'll say that we'll scoop out a revius of it, and the Amoritz will say, fine, that's the revius that I meant to designate as Kodesh, which he hadn't yet. So therefore, we're not truly having to use the concept of Breira for this purpose. In any case, now Tosfos points out another question. Anyway, I mean, so let's finish the question in the Gemara, and then we'll discuss that. So now says Rabbi Yumi Midichi, we see v'loy kamatame le'yayin and v'loy kamatame le'truma le'kodesh. Now we see that the truma is not matame the kodesh, even though they're all in the barrel. If you're telling me that truma, even the most tahor truma, is considered tamei relative to kodesh, you're telling me Rabbi Yitzchak, and there would even be matame the kodesh to tamei truma le'kodesh. Then exactly that, the truma should be matame the kodesh in the barrel over there, and we would never be able to use that wine as kodesh in the first place. Now, Tosfos says, wait a minute, we're talking about that he was guarding it on Taras HaKodesh, and that's why we can accept it for Nesachim. So, of course, then, we should believe him also for Truma. But Tosfos says that, no, because after all, it is all in one, precisely because it is all in one barrel. Tosfos says, listen, we see that even a chover guards his Truma against becoming Tomei, and it doesn't help as far as Kodesh, therefore we're not going to trust in Amoritz more because of that, just because the Kodesh and Truma are mixed together. There you really have. You can't even say that bona bom on asma. You can't say, if we tell the Amoritz, sorry, we're not accepting this from the Sachem, he's going to say, well, then fine, I'll build my own boma and bring the Sachem over there. He won't do that, because look, he would realize that even with a hover like that, we don't accept it to be Kodesh just because he was guarding in a Struma. And then Tosfos also mentions, what if he put the Truma in and then he put the Kodesh in? Maybe he hadn't been careful previously about the Truma and it became Tomei before he put in the Kodesh. So fine, we're not saying, so therefore, that's reason enough to say so all of those are reasons. So now Rabbi Yumi is asking that based on all of that, the Truma should actually be Matame the Kodesh based on what you're saying, Rabbi Yitzchak. You're talking about a case where the truma is where things are attached together, because you have, in other words, you have a barrel over here which is part truma and part kodesh. Truma b'chiburin shiny, it's different when everything is connected together. We're exactly that. The migud mehemen akodesh mehemen nami atruma, because he's trustworthy about kodesh. Because again, the chanan have to trust the amaoretz about kodesh, so we don't have bonim bonim atzmai. Therefore, in that particular case, we believe him about the truma as well, because it's all one barrel, and he's going to guard it equally well against truma. When they're not mixed together, says as in the case we had before of shlishi touching truma or cholim shenasa or taras truma touching kodesh, says Rabbi Yitzchok, that's a different matter, and I would say that in fact it can even be metameh. We would consider that shlishi or truma to actually be as if it was sheni relative to kodesh, and now if it touches it, then it would make it tameh, and therefore if a person eats it, then he's also to eat truma, then he's also to eat kodesh, etc. Okay, but that's not the same as this case with the barrel that's part kodesh and part chulin, because there we can say it is all together in one barrel, and once we trust the amar, it's about one part, then we trust him about the other part. Okay, the Gemara says Masiv Rav Huna bar Nosson. So Rav Huna bar Nosson says Rav Yitzchak, have another contradiction against you. Another Mishnah in Masechet Taharos has Sheni Shibah Chulin Metamei Mashke Chulin. Sheni the truma of cholin food, and as we've learned all this time, regular cholin food, not shenas or taras truma or taras akodesh or anything like that, regular cholin food can only go as far as sheni. If it touches liquids, then as we learned before, liquids, generally speaking, become rishon the truma, medirabanan. As we learned previously in our sugya, something along those lines, kol haposel or sat truma, anything that passes truma, meaning sheni or higher, will make liquids a rishon. So liquid of cholin food of cholin, which is sheni, will make the liquid cholin, will make mashke cholin, will make it a rishon, so it's a rishon l'truma. Or poisel also truma, and sheni of cholin will passel foods of truma, because again, the sheni touches the truma and makes it a shlishi. Continues the Mishnah, Vashlishi Matama Mashta Kodesh, Shlishi food of Chulin, which as we're gonna say is by Chulin Shanasa Altaris HaKodesh, Shlishi of Chulin is Matame liquids of Kodesh, so wine or oil for the Nesachim, for example. And those, in fact, are going to become a rishon l'truma, as is the usual rule. So here you have where shlishi is going to cause the thing that it touches to go all the way up to rishon. Or posel ochle kodesh, and shlishi food of cholin will make food of kodesh posel, because it will make it a reed. And the Mishnah says becholin shenasu al taras hakodesh. What kind of shlishi of cholin are we talking about? If cholin never goes beyond sheni, it's cholin shenasu al taras hakodesh. So you see that shlishi of cholin can. You see clearly from the Mishnah that it can make food of kodesh or Ravid. What are you telling me, Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel, about that shlishi of cholin shenasu al taras hakodesh is not able to cause any problems with kodesh, because either the chacham didn't impose the gzeira in that case according to Rashi, or because it's so far removed from regular cholin that we're not going to say that it's a problem according to Tosfos. Either way, we see from this mission, and not so, shlishi of cholin of shenasu al taras hakodesh does make food of kodesh Ravid, and even makes liquids of kodesh rishon. So the answer is Tanoi. In fact, there's Machlokas Tanoi about that. So fine, you found a Mishnah that contradicts him, Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta, but I'll find you another Tana who does agree with him. Because the Tanya we're learning a Braisa. It's actually a Mishnah in Taras in that same period. Cholin shenasu al taras kodesh. This case of cholin that were kept at the standards of kodesh. Harayim for cholin. So then the Tanakhama says they have the status of cholin, and that means, in other words, so like we were learning before. In particular, we learned in Rabbi Baba Chana's understanding of it that you don't have, or Rabbi Lazar's understanding of it rather, we would say you don't have the capability unilaterally to make cholin have the din of kodesh. So therefore, it's not able to become anything beyond sheni. Rabbi Lozavar, Rabbi Sadik Goyma, Harein Ketruma. Rabbi Lozavar, Rabbi Sadik says, there is such a thing as Cholin Shanasa, Al Taras HaKodesh, but the maximum they can be is like Truma, meaning they can only go as far as Shlishi, L'tamish Shnayim V'lifsel Echad. So only Rishon and Sheni of them will be considered Tamei, the third of them will only be Possel, meaning that it can't be Matamei others, which is the usual rule with Truma. So now Rabbi Yitzchok is saying, well, therefore, so now, in other words, Chulin, so in other words, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadik is taking kind of a middle ground. Chulin Shanasa al Taras Truma are not completely like regular Chulin, like Chanakamah against him said. On the other hand, they're not completely like Kodesh either to go as far as Rabbi. They're in between, they go only as far as Shlishi. Well, Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Shmuel Bamarta is following that opinion. So therefore, so you have Shlishi of Chulin Shanasa al Taras Kodesh, he's going to say, it has exactly the same din as truma in that stat, in that state word, and therefore, and it's only possible. It's not matame. Now, meanwhile, the Mishnah that we just brought, the Mishnah that Rav Huna ben Bar Nosan brought to contradict him, which said that sheni that shlishi is posel oichle kodesh, that would be according to another time. That would be another opinion who would say that in fact Chulin Shanasa al Taras HaKodesh are fully like Kodesh. So in other words, in short, it comes out that you have three opinions. So you have the Mishnah that Rav Huna bar Nosan had brought, which holds that Chulin Shanasa al Taras HaKodesh fully have the status of Kodesh, and they're able to be Shlishi and even Revi. Then you have Rav Elazar Rav Tzadik, who says that no, Chulin Shanasa al Taras HaKodesh are considered only maximum like Truma. They can become only Shlishi, no more than that. And we said Rav Yitzchok Bar Shmuel Bar Marta holds like that. And then we have the Tana Kama that Rav Elazar Rav Tzadik argues against, who says that they can't even, that they're not even like that. They're just like pure, they're like pure Chulin, and they don't even have anything beyond Sheni the Truma. Okay, so very well then. So now we can say that Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Shmuel Bar Marta is not contradicted by a Mishnah, because in fact you have three different opinions on the subject, and he holds like one of them. So the bottom line is we have a number of different opinions of Tanoyim and Amoroyim, what the status is of this whole matter of Chulin Shanasa, Al Taras Truma, and Al Taras HaKodesh, to what extent, how far is Truma able to go with them, and what happens in cases. What happens in cases where a person eats them? When would he be allowed to eat truma or kodshim, and when we would not? And again, part of the question is also how many of these amoroyim argue with one? How many of these amoroyim argue with one another? So we had Tosfos saying that Rabbi Yitzchok would hold similar to an opinion that we had before, that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua's argument was only by Chulin Shanasa al Taras Truma, but Chulin Shanasa al Taras HaKodesh would be different and would be considered basically like Truma, as we're saying over here, as opposed to it could come out then that Rabbi Yitzchok is arguing with what Ulla had said before, because Ulla had said that if a person eats Shlishi Shacholin or Nas Ashanas al Taras Truma, he's also to eat Truma. Meaning, in other words, we would say maybe according to Rabbi Yitzchok that there's a difference between being able he's even allowed to eat Kodesh, he's certainly allowed to touch it, whereas Ola would be saying that he can't eat, but he could touch. Now, getting to the next part of the Mishnah. So we said we got into this whole discussion of Shlishi and Revi and Chulin and Shonasu al Taras Truma and Taras HaKodesh and all that, by way of the Mishnah had told us that if a person shechts an animal and no blood came out, so we said it's not Mukshul Kabal Truma, because it wasn't touched by any of the Shiva Machkin, and therefore a person can eat it with Tomei hands and not be Matameit, and that led us into this whole discussion, how would he be Matameit in the first place? And now, in the Mishnah, Reb Shimon, but now it's quoting from the Mishnah, Reb Shimon Omer, Huchshur B'Shechita, Reb Shimon says that, no, the meat automatically becomes Mukshul HaKamal Truma by virtue of having been shechted. No blood came out, says Reb Shimon, doesn't matter, it's still Mukshul HaKamal Truma. So now we're going to talk about there's different kinds of blood that we can talk about. Blood is blood, obviously, but you have different, the blood can come out at different times, and which kind would be Makshul Kabal Truma and which not. You also have a difference. There's also going to be a distinction possibly between human blood and animal blood. So Reb Shimon and Mechuch Reb Shchita. So Amar Reb Asi Oymer Hoy Reb Shimon. So Reb Asi explains that Reb Shimon would hold Shchitas in Machsheres V'Leidam. What makes it Mechuch LeKabal Truma is the fact that it was shechted, because now the shechting takes away the issue of Eid before. It was also as Eid Menachal. So now, therefore, it also makes it Moksha L'Kabel Tumma. And it was the whole idea of being Moksha L'Kabel Tumma is beforehand, before it was wedded, with one of the Shiva Mashrim. It can't really be considered food, and now it's considered food. We touched on the other day the matter of Chibas HaKodesh, that when it comes to Kodesh and food, we don't say that. It's already considered food even before one of the Shiva Mashrim. So Rav Shimon would say in the same vein, you shechted an animal, you now made it Mutar to eat, then that also automatically makes it food and makes it Moksha L'Kabel Tumma. But says Rav Asi, Rav Shimon would hold that blood is not Moksha L'Kabel Tumma. So in other words, Rav Shimon would say that the blood that comes out during the Shechita is not the kind of blood that is Moksha L'Kabel Tumma. So Rav Shimon would hold that it does not. And then the Chachamim would hold that it does. In other words, the Chachamim was saying the only reason this meat wasn't Moksha L'Kabel Tumma is because no blood came out. Had it come out during the Shechita, then it would be L'Kabel Tumma. Whereas Rav Shimon says, never mind that. Even if Rav Asi is understanding Rav Shimon to be saying, never mind that. Even if blood does come out, that's not what's Moksha L'Kabel Tumma. What's Moksha L'Kabel Tumma is the Shechita. So the Gemara says, "Lema Masayale." Well, can we say that we can support Rav Asi's explanation from the wording of the Mishnah? Rav Shimon emeh huchshu v'shchita. My lab v'shchita v'lebedam. Shouldn't we understand Rav Shimon to be saying dafka shechting makes it moksha l'kabel tumma? Blood does not. The Gemara says, "No, not necessarily." Does Rav Shimon mean that? He means af v'shchita. He means it's one or the other. So in this case, no blood came out. Rav Shimon would say it's moksha by virtue of the shchita. Had blood come out, then Rav Shimon would say, look, there's two reasons to be moksha l'kabel tumma. A, because of the shchita, and B, because of the blood. So the Gemara continues, Toshma, let's bring another proof. A Braisa says, Amar lahen Rav Shimon, the Rav Shimon says, V'chi adam machsher v'al shchita machsheres. What do you mean? You're telling me that the blood is machsher, and therefore if there was no blood, it's not machsher l'kabel tumma. Isn't it the shchita that makes it kosher? Well, that pretty clearly sounds like he's saying that the shchita is machsher, and that blood of shchita is not. And again, not necessarily. You could say Rav Shimon means Achikam on the hand. He might mean Chidam Bilvad Machsher Afshkit and Ami Machsheres. You're talking, he says to the Chacham, as though only blood can be Machsher, and therefore if no blood came out, then nothing happens. I would say that also the Shkita can be Machsher. But I'm not disagreeing with you that, the blood could also be Machsher. Okay, so still no proof for Rav Asi from Rav Shimon's, from Rav Shimon's opinion. Well, the Gemara says Toshma. Let's bring another proof, against Rav Asi. So Rav Shimon Omer, so we have a Mishnah, and we have a Mishnah in Masechta Machshirin, Rav Shimon Omer, Dam HaMes Eine Machshir. Rav Shimon says that blood of a mess is not machshir. Now, what do we mean by a mess over here? So Rashi explains it means an animal that died on its own. So in other words, if it was shechted, it's one thing, but if the animal died on its own and blood came out of it, then that would be what he calls dam HaMes. Tosfos doesn't like that answer because doesn't like that explanation because then it wouldn't say dam hamnes. Hamnes usually means a human being. It should say dam miso. And a number of other questions that Tosfos has on Rashi. So they're saying dam hamnes according to them, Rav Shimon would mean the blood of a person who actually died. So in other words, according to Rashi, we would say the Chachamim are holding that blood of an animal that died is machshir, and Rav Shimon is saying that it's not. If it died on its own, then it's not machshir. According to Tosfos, the verdict would be they both agree that blood of an animal is not machshir, but at least not without shchita, but blood of a person would be a machloikus whether it's machshir or kabel tumma. Now, blood itself, to be sure, if you have enough of it, is metame on its own. But here we're talking about machshirs if you have less than that. You need a revius of blood at least. So in order to be metame, and here you have less than that. So Rav Shimon says dam hames eine machshir, my lab hold dam shchita machshir. Now wouldn't the implication be that he says that blood of shchita is machshir? Otherwise, what he should have said is just generically, he should have said dam eine machshir. When he says dam misa and dam hames, and again according to Rashi we mean an animal that died without shchita, and according to Tosfos we mean there's no question an animal, it means even a person. Then he should, if he holds that no such blood that comes out of an animal's machshir, then he should have just said generically that blood is not machshir. So therefore, the fact that he says dam hames ain't machshir implies he holds that blood of shchita is machshir, not like Rav Asi. The answer is no. No, what Rav Shimon means to exclude hot dam chalolim, master, as opposed to dam chalolim, which would be an animal that was killed. So, as I know, you have those three ways that an animal could die. It could be shechted. It could die without having, without, could die of other causes, or it could have been, it could have been killed in a way that's not shita. So Rav Shimon would be saying that dam chalolim for blood from an animal that was killed is machshir. Here also, Tosfos would say that dam chalolim would mean not blood from animals, but rather blood from people. So the same way, with dam ames would be a person died of natural causes and blood came out of him. And then Rav Shimon would hold that that's not machshir. Whereas then you have dam chalolim, a person was killed, a person was stabbed or whatever. Then Rav Shimon would say that then Rav Shimon would be saying that is machshir. So therefore, so there's no necessary inference from that Mishnah that Rav Shimon doesn't hold like Rav Asi that blood of shchita is machshir, because he's not talking about that. He's only talking about blood that came from it after it died versus after it was killed. So the Gemara says, "Abal dam shchita mai." So then, what would you tell me would happen with blood of shchita? Loi machshir. According to Rav Shimon, you're telling us that it wouldn't be machshir, like Rav Asi says. Then in that case, he should say the greater chiddush, l'shmein dam shchita. He should tell us that even blood of shchita is not machshir, even though. Now, how do we know b'chlal that blood is one of the liquids that's machshir the kabel tumah? Is because we have a hekesh between it and water. The pasuk says about blood, al aretz tishpachenu kamoyim, as we learned the other day, that means that because water is machshir kabel tumah, which we know that from the psukim in Parshas Shmini, so is blood. Well, dam shchita specifically there is being compared to water, that you should shech the animal, and al aretz tishpachenu kamoyim. So you should say, even that, you're going to say that even that is not machshir, because you can dam ames, and how much more so dam ames wouldn't be machshir. So if he holds the way Rav Asi says he does, that he holds that blood of shchita is machshir, then in this Mishnah that we're quoting from Machshirin, he should have actually said that blood of shchita is machshir, and we would understand all the more so dam chalolim. Tosfos was asked, though, that the fact is we learn them from different psukim, so why, what does one have to do with the other? So Tosfos says, yeah, but if we didn't learn the fact that blood of shchita is machshir, then you would say, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, that there's a difference between whether it was killed or whether it died naturally, and then the Chachamim would also say that what kind of blood is machshir, only blood from someone who was killed, not from someone who died. Now that we have another pasuk from Tishpachenu Kamoyim, then therefore we have reason to say that it should apply to both of them. So we're making a kavah chomer. In other words, what we would have done had there not been the relevant psukim. And then Rav Shimon should tell us that, and he would in fact be clearly saying that dam shchita is machshir. And the answer is no. Dam ames is tzrichalei. In fact, Rav Shimon has to tell us the chiddush of the case where the animal died, or the person died, according to Tosfos. Stop that, Hamina. Otherwise, you would think, you know why blood of shchita is not machshir? Because where we one source that we say that blood is machshir is because of a pasuk that says the dam chalolim yishe, that refers metaphorically, Bilam in one of his brachas to the Jewish people describes how they'll drink the blood of their enemies, meaning that they'll conquer them and take over their lands and their possessions and all. But the fact that the pasuk puts together dam chalolim, blood of the ones who were killed, together with yishe, will drink, allows us to consider dam. You know, of course, we don't drink blood. But nevertheless, that establishes a basis for considering dam chalolim to be considered a mashke, for it to be considered a liquid as far as halacha is concerned. Well, we would say maybe only that. Maybe only by chalolim where it was killed without shchita. But you could say shchita is different. Shchita is not chalolim. You could argue, so in other words, maybe you would argue to draw a distinction and say there's shchita on the one hand, and that's the blood from that is not machshir the kabel tumah. But then you have the other two, chalolim and died naturally. You could argue, mali kapta iu, mali kapta malach hamavas. What's the difference? After all, whether he killed it or whether the malach hamavas killed it, either way, dead is dead without shchita, and therefore maybe both of them should be considered dam chalolim. So you would say dam shchita is not dam chalolim. But dam of any other kind, of mesa or chalola, should in fact be machshir. So therefore, Kamash Malam, therefore, Rav Shimon would have to tell us that no, he would say that only that he would say only Damames is only Damames is not Makshir. So he's not addressing Dam Shchita because he wants to just point out the contrast between Damames and Dam Chalolim. Dam Chalolim, where the animal was killed without Shchita, is Makshir. Damames, he says, is not. So there's no proof from that what he would hold about Dam Shchita. Maybe he holds that it is Makshir, maybe not. You can't contradict Rav Asi from that. Okay, the Gemara says Toshma. Let's bring another proof. Another point Rav Shimon says on the subject. Rav Shimon and Dam Magi Fase. Rav Shimon says blood from an injury. Again, according to Rashi, from a person, and according to Tosfos from a person. So Dam Magi Fase. So blood from an injury, any Machu is also not Machu. My lab. So again, the fact that he's specifically saying dam lagishtosa seems to imply how dam shchita matcher seems to imply that blood of shchita is matcher, not like Rabasi. And the answer is what? Or dam chalolim matcher. Again, it may mean that he just means to draw the contrast with dam chalolim. Where, for example, you chopped off the animal's head, or you did something else, which is not a valid shchita, that would be dam chalolim. And as we said, since the pasuk is the dam chalolim yishta, then that makes that a mashkeva. Not when it comes to any other kind of blood, not shchita. We could say shchita maybe yes, but he's not addressing that. But not dam misa, not dam misa, not dam nagifasa. So in other words, so far we have four different kinds of ways that blood can come out. There can be shchita, there can be mesa, where the animal died of natural causes, there can be chalala, where a person killed the animal, for example, by chopping off its head, and then you have dam magei fosa, blood of an injury. So far we would say, based on mishnayos and braisos that we brought, Reb Shimon would say dam chalolim is machshir, where you killed the animal without shchita. On the other hand, dam hames and dam magifosa, he would say, is not machshir, where it died of natural causes or where it was injured. And as far as shchita, so far we don't specifically have Reb Shimon addressing it one way or the other. According to Reb Asi, he was saying that he says it would be machshir lekabel tumah. Well, the Gemara says, "Avol dam shchita mai." So again, what would Rav Shimon hold about dam shchita? Loi machshir. Wouldn't we say that it's machshir? Like Rav Asi says. My loy machshir, wouldn't it be that's machshir? Lushin in a dam shchita, b'chol shekin dam nagefase. Then again, like we said before, he should say that dam shchita is not machshir, and all the more so dam nagefase. So we should be able to prove from that Mishnah like Rav Asi. Because if you're going to tell me that he's saying dam nagefase is not machshir, implying that blood of shchita is machshir. Well, in that case, if he only wanted to tell us not dam chalolim, then he could have told us dam shchita, and we would understand dam magifase from a kavachoyim from it. And the answer is dam magifase it's tzrichale. Again, there's a chiddush. Rav Shimon has a reason to specifically mention blood of an injury. Because otherwise, stop that chamina, you could have an argument the same way as we argued before, that maybe there's not a difference between whether the animal died of natural causes or was killed. You could say, what's the difference whether you killed it or the Malacham Avos killed it? Same idea. You could say, Mali stop that chamina, Mali kaple kula, Mali kaple parva. What's the difference whether you killed all of it or whether you killed some of it? An injury is, after all, like a minor version of killing. So therefore, sort of Shimon has to tell you that no, there's a difference between them, and only blood of killing is makshir. And blood of Magefa is not. Again, as far as Shchita, he's not telling us specifically one way or the other. Well, the question then becomes, Maishna dam chalolim demachshir? Well, why would you tell me that blood of killing the animal is machshir? Is zichdiv dam chalolim yishta? Again, because that pasuk where Bilam refers metaphorically to the Jewish people, he refers to them as like a lion that tears up its prey in the dam chalolim yishta and drinks the blood of the ones who were killed, the blood of the slain. And therefore you would say that establishes that dam chalolim is considered a mashka. Dam shchita nami, k'siv al ha'aretz shfachanu kamoyim. Well, blood of shchita, it says you should pour it out on the ground like water, and that means it's like water, and it's machshir lekabel tumah. Why would Rav Shimon be making a distinction and saying that blood of shchita is not, and be saying that that blood of shchita is not machshir? Sorry, I said it wrongly before. Why would he say that blood of shchita is not machshir, but he would say that blood of chalolim, where you killed it, is machshir? We both learn them equally well from Pesukim. And the answer is, because that pasuk about Shulchan Kamayim is not telling us anything about Hechsher the Tavol Truma. The reason the Torah is comparing it to water is to tell us that those psukim are talking about psula amakshoshim. You had an animal that was supposed to be brought as a korban, you weren't able to because it developed a mum or whatever other problem, and therefore you poured it and you're eating it, and the Torah is telling you that you're allowed to use the blood. You're not to drink the blood of it, but you're allowed to use the blood of it. In other words, you shouldn't think, well, once the animal was kosher at one point, the blood would have been sprinkled on the mizbeach. Therefore, even now, there's psula mekdashim, you can't use the blood. Nevertheless, that's not a problem, and you are allowed to use it. So that's the reason why it's compared to water, not necessarily to tell us that it's machshu lekabel truma. So that's the point. Safed ad hamini, you would have thought to say, The same way as psula mekdashim still retain a status of a certain status of kedusha, insofar as you can't shear them and you can't work with them. So you could argue the blood maybe also has a residual kedusha. So therefore you would argue libay kvura. Maybe that blood should have to be buried the same way. In other words, as if the animal dies without shchita, you have to bury it. And you find, for example, by Bechor, that a Bechor Tom, for example, that you didn't bring as a korban, if it dies, then you have to bury it because it's also Ba'ana. You would have thought the same thing with the blood, and therefore the Pasuk has to tell you, no, in the same way as you're allowed to use water, you're allowed to use that blood. Now, Tosfos brings up a long discussion over here. The fact is, even you're not allowed to shear korbanos, or even psula mekdashin, it's true, but b'dieved, if you did shear the wool off, it is muta Ba'ana, and even if it's only also b'dieved, it's only because of Xeva. So what would make us say that the blood should be osabana if it came out when the animal was alive or when it's dead? And Tosfos says, fine, but with that, so why would you need the Hekish to tell us that the blood is mutabana if it came out anyway? It's like a b'diyah v'dika thing. And the answer is because otherwise you would think that it's like the milk of psula amakdashin. You're not allowed to milk psula amakdashin either. If you have a female animal that was kodshin and then became posel, you're not allowed to milk it. And the milk is also, and the milk is in fact, the milk is in fact also ba'na. So you would argue that maybe the blood should be the same thing, and therefore we need the pasuk to tell us that not. So that would be why Rav Shimon addresses dam nagli fasa and not dam chalolim, not dam shchita, because he wants you to realize the question was not why Rav Shimon is stating, but why we wouldn't say that both of them learn from Sukkim. And the answer is because the pasuk that about Dam Shchita is not in fact telling us about being machshu lekabel truma, it's teaching us a different din. So we only have the pasuk Dam Chalolim Yishta, and therefore Rav Shimon says, fine, Dam Chalolim is going to be machshu, but not the other kinds, not Dam Shchita, not Dam Magifasa, and not Dam Nesa. To round out that discussion, the Gemara says we talked about dam chalolim, but within that itself, let's talk about what is the definition of dam chalolim. So Tanit Beit Abishmol, when the pasuk is the dam chalolim yishta, when it says the blood of chalolim they will drink, meaning in other words that there's a certain kind of blood that's called chalolim. So that would be, in other words, Rabbi Shmuel is explaining to you that it means only the blood that comes out after the creature is already a cholol. Namely, it actually explains, when you, for example, when you let blood from an animal, or otherwise you cause an animal or a person, for that matter, to bleed, so first you have a little bit of bleeding that comes out, then you have a flow, a big gush of blood, and then afterwards it sort of darkens because you're getting the non-oxygenated blood. And then at that point, eventually the rest of it dribbles out. So now the dam chalolim we're saying would be only that last part, only where it starts turning a darker color and it's not gushing out anymore. So tonet v'rav shmo, the dam chalolim yishta, trap the dam kiluach shenem achshor says roim, that comes to exclude, says Rabbi Shmo, that the dam kiluach, that second stage when it's gushing out, which is that with that the nefesh leaves the body. So with that, so sitra duar would not be machshor lekabel truma. Because the person or the animal is not a cholol yet. They become a cholol only when that blood is gone, and then you have the darker blood that's dribbling out. That's a point. And then shchita, on the other hand, would be different. That dafka the dam kiluach would be machshir and not the dam atamtzis, because there you have with shchita it's different. Blood shan nefesh yotzeboy is what's machshir the kabel truma. Tosfos discusses that over here, and Tosfos points out that there's a different gemara in Krisus that's relevant to this. So Tosfos points out. So here Rashi is saying dam kiluach, the nefesh doesn't go out with it. Only later on from the Gemara and Kriyas it comes out, but just the opposite. The blood does go out with the dam kiluach, and that would be not only if you're shefting or killing the animal, but even for example you're letting blood with it. So Tosfos explains in the words, though, the difference is, again, that you want, that there's a difference in that regard between halalim and shtikta. With halalim, where the animal was killed or injured or whatever, you want dafka the blood after it became a halal. But when it comes to shtikta, you want the blood that is where the nefesh is going out of the animal, and therefore that would be dafka the dam kiluach, dafka the gush of blood. So either of those cases would be makshir, but not the other ones. When it comes to halalim, the gush would not be makshir, and when it comes to shtita, the dribbling out would not be makshir. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, talking more about this matter of blood being makshir and details in that.